Genesis chapter 6, verse number 6. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 6, you will see God having a conversation in the Godhead. And it reads, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Verse 13, "But God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee a ark of gopher wood." See, God never told Noah to make me a ark. Noah, I'm going to be saved from the destruction. Make thee a ark of gopher wood. This word ark comes from the Hebrew word tavah, which literally means a chest or a box. Noah, make thee a box, not a boat, not a ship, a box of gopher wood. And God invited Noah, his family, and the animals into the box, and he shut the door, chapter 7, verse 16. God never instructed Noah how to move the box. He never told Noah which direction the box was going. All God did was told Noah to build a box and I will do the rest. God had the box under control. All Noah did was went into the box and stood still. Did you know that the flood waters covered the mountains? And did you know that the ark had a window for Noah to look out of? Now, that's scary. I'm pretty sure Noah put all of his trust in God. It doesn't matter what we go through in our lives, how bad our storms are, or how high the waters are. The situation might be too big and out of your control, but you must let go, trust God, and stand still. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17 says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." Now, let's say that you're watching a movie. Now, let's say that you're looking into this character's life, and you see that everything is fine. So you keep watching the movie. There's no trouble. Everything is fine. An hour later, everything is fine. Would you continue to watch this movie? No, because life is about drama, the ups and the downs, the joys and the pains, the failures and the victories. That is what life is about. What can you benefit from an unseasoned life? Remember Joseph? Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, at the age of 17, was favored more than his brothers because he would reveal to his father, Jacob, his brother, evil deeds. Now, Jacob loved Joseph dearly because he was born in his old age, so he did special things for him, like made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers hated that, and they envied Joseph. So one day, Jacob tells Joseph to go to the fields, and I want pretty much you to check up on your brothers. So he goes to the field. His brothers were nowhere to be found. In verse 17, a man tells Joseph that your brothers are in another city. So he goes after his brothers. Now, let's pick up verse number 18. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Verse 23. "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in." Verse 26, "And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Let's pick up with chapter 39, verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him, and he made him overseer over his house. All that he had, he put into his hand." It doesn't matter where you are in your life today. You are safe if God is with you? Will your trouble stop? No, let's keep reading. Verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he heard not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there were none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, see, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. Now let's pick up verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all of the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Wherever you are in your life today, if the Lord is with you, sing and be happy. As a matter of fact, there were two men that entered into the prison. Well, they were thrown into prison with Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 7, Joseph asked one of the most surprising questions. He says, wow, y'all looking so sad today. Are you kidding me, Joseph? Are you kidding me? At the age 17, you were betrayed by your brothers. You were thrown into a pit. You were sold into slavery. You were thrown in jail for apparently no reason, and you asking me, why am I so sad today? The question is, what's making you so happy? Because Joseph was standing still, knowing that the Lord was with him. Later on, Joseph became governor of Egypt. Later on after that, Joseph meets back up with his brothers, and in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he says to his brothers, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. What about Moses? Moses was successful in getting his people out of the land of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 80 reads, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses of chariot of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Hazeroth, before Beel-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, they cried out, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better if we served the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. See, the Egyptians was pretty much chasing after the Israelites. The Israelites ran into a no way out, the Red Sea. The Egyptians were closing in on them. But what did Moses say to them in verse number 14? Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And God split the Red Sea in half, causing the Israelites to walk on dry land. Is there anything too hard for God? God made a way out of no way. What about Job? We all heard about the afflictions of Job, how that Satan took his family, Satan took his wealth, and even took his health. But I find it interesting that Satan never took his so-called friends. But anyway, in the midst of Job's deepest moments of sorrow, it was said to Job in Job chapter 37, verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And that's what he did. He stood still, and God blessed him greatly. Jeremiah was a thus saith the Lord preacher. He preached the word of God regardless of what men thought of him. In Jeremiah chapter 38 and verse number 6, it said, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into a dungeon of Melchizedek, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mud. So Jeremiah sunk in the mud." In your Christian walk, have there ever been a time where you felt like you hit rock bottom? Where you felt like all hope was gone? Where you felt like you were sinking in the mud? Turn to Psalms chapter 69, verse 1. And I want you to, if you had this experience, to listen to the words of the psalmist and see, can you relate? Psalm 69, verse 1. And it reads, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mud, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail, for I wait for my God." Maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed till you ran out of words to say. Maybe you felt like God must not be paying attention. But God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, "Why are you crying out to me? Move forward. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Jeremiah was released out of the deep pit, and he kept standing still, preaching the word of God. What about Daniel? What about Daniel? Daniel was sentenced to death and thrown into a lion's den for praying to God. The king ran to the arena to see Daniel with the lions, and he saw Daniel standing still. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, "My God has sent his angel, and he has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me." Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? What about Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They too were sentenced to death and thrown into a fiery furnace. They refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. But the king was astonished to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing still with no hurt, no harm, and no danger. First Peter chapter 4, verse 19. It reads, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God." Let me read that again so you can catch it. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Could it be that it is God's will for us to suffer? Turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. And it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now listen to this part. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth, that it may give, make it bring forth and bear, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." See, rain is always thought of to be a spoiler of the day, but rain make things grow. See, our sufferings, just like rain, makes us grow. James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brother, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this," temptations or trials, same thing, "knowing this, that the trial of your faith work your patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing." Romans chapter 5, verse 3. "But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work your patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, when it rains, where is your umbrella? Which is your faith, which shields the suffering from worrying you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and reward him that diligently seek him." Verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world, and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Verse 36. And others through the system of faith had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of burns and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder or cut in half. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and even tormented. See, I am the man that I am today because of my sufferings, through the ups and the downs, through the joys and the pains, through the failures and the victories. I am thankful that it was God's will for me to suffer. It was God's will for Christ to suffer. Christ prayed to God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And they sentenced him to death. They spit into his face. They struck him with their rods. They stripped off his clothes, and Jesus stood still. Today, if you are suffering in the Lord, stop trying to take control, handle the situation, stand still, and know that he is God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after that you have suffered a little while, God's grace will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as a evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's business, 1 Peter 4:15. If you practice sin, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, your suffering is in vain, for the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, 1 Peter 3:12. You might not know it, but maybe you have been cast out of the church, and your suffering is for the destruction of your flesh, 1 Corinthians 5:5. There is a day reserved for you, Job 21:30. Your wickedness has made you reservations. 2 Peter 3:6 says, whereby the world that then was, and nor they being overflowed with water, it perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now in this day, by the same word I kept in restore, reserved until fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When God destroyed the earth with water, it was only one way to be saved, through Noah and the ark. When God destroys the earth with fire, there will be only one way to be saved, through Christ and his church. God told Noah, build one ark. I wonder how many men back in Noah's day decided, you know, I'm going to build my own ark. You know, he think he's special. I'm going to build my own ark. Only one ark survived the destruction. Christ built one church, Matthew 16:18, and only one church will survive the coming destruction. And to you who refuse to repent, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you know who you are, you will be cast down to hell to serve the same God you serve here on earth, Satan. You, being that you love the dark, will be surrounded by darkness for eternity. Being that you are reserved for hell, you have made reservations to sleep in hell, and your pillow will be of worms. You will be yelling, you will be knelling, you will be wailing, yelling, and gnashing your teeth in misery. I highly recommend that you change your reservations today, that you hear the word of God, that you trust and believe in the life of his dear son, that you repent and you turn from your wicked ways, you come here and that you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you can change your reservations from hell to a mansion in heaven. Come, change your reservations while together we stand and sing.